interview was conducted on behalf of the oral history program of Century High School. The interviewee is David Hepp. The interviewers are Ashley Real and Tita Tan. The interview took place at his house on May 24th, 2005 at 6:30. Okay, what is the title of your job?
My job title is Undersheriff for the Washington County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, and what exactly do you do?
I'm second in command at the Sheriff's Office. There's 500 people at the Sheriff's Office. It's a full service police facility that handles corrections, police, detectives, forensics, evidence, civil training, and the jail. And I am the number two. I'm not an elected official at the job. I'm appointed, but I'm the second highest ranking person at the facility.
Awesome. Here. What kind of training have you been through?
What kind of training have I been through? I've been through a lot of training. Starting from basic police academy and training types to intermediate to supervisory level. I've got 19 years exposure with the SWAT unit or tactical operations, so I've got 19 years of training specific just to that. Going back over my career, general patrol, investigations, felony crimes, drug investigations, undercover work, the tactical operations, and then on to supervision. So there's supervisory classes, management classes, the FBI National Academy, and that's just kind of a very brief overview, but I mean, thousands of hours.
Yeah. Do you think the training's changed throughout 20 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously it has.
In what ways?
Well, technology. If you look at the technology that's available today, the training is different not only in the tools that we use to be proficient at our jobs, mm-hmm. but also the methods to teach adults. Adults learn in different manners, mm-hmm. so there's different technology that's used there.
Mm-hmm. One of the officers said that technology is slowing police down. I think
that it may slow us down in some ways, but it enables us to do a better job. An example, officers have computers in their cars now, and they get all their calls for service over the computer. So instead of just a dispatcher back in the 70s and 80s telling you, you know, you have a robbery at this intersection, go deal with it, mm-hmm. it gives you the printout of the call to show the type of call, what suspect information there is, a map on how to get there, and any other pertinent information. So it takes you a little bit longer to read the call, but you get so much more information.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fact, you can type your report up on the computer, and it may take you, some guys, it may take you longer to type than to write it out longhand, but then once you get back to the office, an automatic download into the data system,
mm-hmm.
and it's more legible and it's more clear and there's more details there, so it makes us, I think, much better as a profession.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you feel like, since you guys have like so much technology offered to you, like different weapons, new weapons and all that stuff, do you think it's cut down on like the police officers' technique of not talking to the suspect as much? Like, they'll turn to their weapons faster than like in the 80s or something like that?
No, not at all. I think it's just the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s and 80s, you know, there were few defensive tools that were available to a person. You know, you had a handgun, and then mm-hmm. you had a shotgun, and you had a nightstick.
Right.
Well, now, if it's a matter of using force, now we have OC, pepper spray, and we have beanbag rounds, mm-hmm. and we have tasers, and so there's a much broader spectrum of trying to accomplish what you need to do. Think of it as painting a picture. You know, back in the 80s, you may have had 10 colors to paint a picture.
Right.
Now we have 150 colors. Mm-hmm. So there's so many more options available to you.
Do you think that makes it safer? Yeah.
No, I think it's more dangerous now than it was then. Sure. It's more dangerous because of the number of violent crimes. There's more violent crimes that are occurring now than there were in the 80s. Our mental health system in the state is not as good as it was then, so there are very, very many more people out on the streets who have mental health issues. The drugs. Back in the 80s, you had people who were trying marijuana and LSD and some of those other drugs, but now methamphetamine, I mean, it's out there and it's crazed, and all you have to do is pick up the paper any day and you can see that there is some person who is whacked out on meth that was trying to hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. Gangs, in the 80s, there really weren't gangs up here in the Washington County area, maybe in Southern California, but that wasn't an issue. When I went to high school in 73, it was a violent high school in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we had fights and stabbings and guns that people were being shot at from outside the school. This is back in like 72, 73, and you think there were no problems then. But I think that wasn't typical of all of the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at high schools now with the pressures that are placed on the kids and the gangs and all the other problems, that there's more violence in high schools and there's more violence in the community, and people are less able to deal with it because of the mental health issues and the impacts of the drugs.
Mm. Can you talk more in depth about like the gangs and like especially in Hillsborough, with like since they're like bilingual, especially like the Hispanics? And
a lot of times people, they say gangs and they say it's Latino or Hispanic
mm-hmm.
gangs
mm-hmm.
and there's white gangs, but
mm-hmm.
there are also there's Russian gangs
right.
and there's Asian gangs and there's Polynesian gangs, and you know, it's just it to what degree. Washington County is a very safe place.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at crimes, the rate per thousand, that's how they categorize a lot of things. They look at how many murders are there for every 1,000 people, how many robberies per 1,000 people, and the crime rate in Washington County has consistently gone down
mm-hmm.
the last few years. Property crimes are up, but in general the person violent crimes have gone down. Why has it gone down? It's hard to say, because Washington County has a very educated population. They have jobs, so the unemployment rate is less, and the average pay per job is higher than the average on the rest of the state. So
mm-hmm.
it's like educated, unemployed, but they have a lot of the services to take care of themselves, and I think they're less inclined to be involved in crimes in general.
Mm-hmm.
Back to your question about gangs.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of that, there are less gangs in Washington County than there are in other areas. We find West Side Light Rail, when that opened it up, it was like a floodgate of gang-related problems, because
mm-hmm.
the West Hills, for some reason, for the 80s and the 90s, it was a deterrent, I guess. It was just easier to stay in Portland. But once the light rail opened up, and I don't want to suggest that it's just tied to the light rail,
mm-hmm.
because other things have changed also. But we're finding gang people from Gresham out in Washington County. Our Washington County gang people are out in Gresham. We had an interagency gang enforcement team. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. No.
Right. So, it was police officers that were dedicated to go out and identify gangsters, to identify what criminal activities that they were involved with and help arrest and do enforcement actions
mm-hmm.
against them. It's no longer an interagency gang enforcement team, it's just the sheriff's office. City of Beaverton has had issues with their department and manpower struggles, and they've pulled their people off.
Mm-hmm.
Hillsborough has pulled their people off also. Tiger has pulled their people off also. And it's not really smart.
Right.
Because the gangsters don't stay in their cities. they go back and forth all the time, and unless you have everybody talking together and working together, people are going to slip through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. So do you think like the media is depicting the wrong message to the public about the gang war or whatnot that's going to happen this summer?
Oh, there's going to be gang problems. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no doubt about that. I mean, we've got assaults already now, but mm-hmm. all crimes pick up. We joke that it's a tourist season at the office because, well, I mean, during the winter, it's cold and wet and rainy mm-hmm. in Oregon, mm-hmm. and people are inside more.
Right.
Now, what happens when it gets nice? Everybody's outside. And the more you're outside, the more you drink, the more you do different things. And it's not just the people that are out are the problems, but there are more potential victims out there if somebody wants to victimize mm-hmm. somebody, like younger people, like yourselves.
Right.
I mean, if you're out late at a movie and there's a whole bunch of people there, there's an opportunity to break into your car, more opportunities than not. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that during the summer when it gets hot, people get irritable. And we find that crime increases. It's usually a known person against a known person. Assaults mm-hmm. Increase because husbands and wives, they're bickering because it's hot and they're not getting along. Now family beefs really go up quite a bit
mm-hmm.
during the late summer months when it's hot.
What kind of crimes do gangs usually do? Like, most popular?
I think it depends on the gang. We had a plane crash. We took a break for an emergency telephone call. We're back on at 6:51 p.m.
Okay. What kind of weapons do you carry?
Me personally or the mm-hmm. department?
You personally, and then the department.
I'm in uniform with most of the standard gear that the guys on the road have, but I'm in the office. I'm mm-hmm. an administrator. I deal with personnel issues, budget, political, and overall command of big incidents. So I'm not like everybody else on the road. So I have a handgun. Specifically, I mean, we have Glocks that are issued to everybody on the department, 40 caliber, 45. The guys on the street, they have handguns, beanbag shotguns, and beanbag shotguns are less lethal rounds. It's, did you ever play with a beanbag when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Well, it's like that, but it's a little tiny, about a 2-inch by 2-inch square, and it's a projectile. It's like getting hit with a hardball. They have those. They have carbine rifles for longer shots than a handgun, up to 100 to 200 yards. They have tasers, which shoots a darts that send an electrical pulse through somebody, and it's like an involuntary muscle spasm, and they fall down. It doesn't hurt you, but you can't control it, and you fall down if they connect.
Mm-hmm.
They have the OC or pepper spray. You know, you've heard that on TV all the time. They say it's mace. Well, it's not mace.
Mm-hmm.
It's micro-pulverized pepper. And it sprays on you and your eyes slam shut. And you have mucus that comes out of your nose and you have a hard time breathing. We have handguns, or not handguns, handcuffs. It's not really a firearm or defensive tool, but it's used to secure people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the general patrol force. On the SWAT team, we have a lot more than that. Different kinds of rifles to different kinds of munitions, chemical agents. There's a broad spectrum of chemical agents. There's a broad spectrum of less lethal munitions from riot control type things.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Okay. How do you feel about the budget for
How do I feel about our budget?
Mm-hmm.
Now see, all the budgets are different. There's 13 different law enforcement agencies in Washington County. 13.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we are just the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office has ultimate authority over the entire county. it's over 700 square miles, almost 500,000 people that we have. Now the cities, they have authority within their municipality, and they're usually the first responder in the municipality, and then we go to back them up or to take care of the unincorporated areas. So out of a population of 500,000, how much, what do you think the population is for the unincorporated area? How many people live outside cities out of 500,000? Yes.
A fourth of them?
A fourth of them. That's close. It's a little over 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little less than half.
Mm-hmm.
Our budget is pretty good. Last November, we had a public safety levy that failed, which is about 20% of our budget. And it helps to operate the district attorney's office, the juvenile department, community corrections, the jail, our patrol division, our forensics, and our detective division. So we're going to go back out before the voters in November of 06, see if they want to support it again.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, we're going to lay off a couple hundred people mm-hmm. in the county, which means that jail beds will close. It's about 65 jail beds will close, and that's not good. It's not good for the community, because it's a safe community now,
mm-hmm.
but if there's people that need to be in jail, they're not going to be in jail. They're going to be out on the street, and most likely doing the crimes that put them in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. But overall, have like the taxpayers been pretty giving since like the 80s? You know, they're supporting the officers and doing their job.
For the sheriff's office, yes. We have never, since, well, I take that back, in the early 70s or a couple of times that they were hesitant, but since the 80s, every single time we went out and asked the voters for money to support law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
they've given it to us until this last year.
Uh-oh. Why do you think they didn't support it this time?
Because it's confusing, and I don't think we did a well enough job in educating them. And it's confusing because the sheriff's office, are funded by the Washington County General Fund tax
mm-hmm.
base, the local option public safety tax base. If you live in an urban unincorporated area, you pay enhanced sheriff patrol taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that are a permanent tax rate, and there's some
mm-hmm.
that are a temporary tax rate. So when you look at your tax bill, it looks like you're paying taxes four times for the same service,
right.
But it's not. It's not proportional, but
mm-hmm.
it's like you pay a part of the taxes through one means, a part through another means, and a part through another means.
Okay.
So it's confusing.
That's pretty much the only thing.
Yeah. That's what we believe.
Okay.
Back to crimes. What kind of crimes do you see, like, typical day?
What kind of crimes do I see in a typical day? I don't see very many crimes on a typical day. But accidents, traffic-related crimes, I mean, those are a common occurrence. Burglaries, property crimes are a common occurrence, and they have been since the 80s. Thefts from vehicles. During the winter months, people go out and they start their car up, you know,
mm-hmm.
to warm it up, and they
mm-hmm.
leave it unlocked. So people jump in their cars and steal their cars. We see those. So I'd say that those are probably pretty close to what's been occurring all along. The big changes in the last maybe 5 years are meth-related crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Identity theft. The property crimes that relate to identity theft, but break into your house, do a burglary, break into your car, get money to go buy more meth, shoplifting, forgery. Forgery's gone through the roof now. We have it's a multi-agency fraud and identity theft team. It started in January of 05.
Mm-hmm.
And until 2 months ago, we said that every single crime that they had investigated was meth-related.
Mm-hmm.
Every single crime that they'd investigated. Now, we had a couple that were, there was no evidence of meth, so we can't say that anymore, mm-hmm. but still, it's, that's incredible,
yeah.
The amount. So meth is the epidemic that's attacking our community now. If we could get rid of all of the meth and all of the meth users who are addicted to meth today, tomorrow, I mean, it would be like we're in heaven because crime would go down so much.
Do you think it's more adults or teens who are using it?
One thing about meth is that, I mean, it touches all social classes. It touches all ethnic backgrounds. It's not like, heroin, you know, back in the 80s, heroin over on the East Coast, they had white heroin, Asian, China white heroin. On the West Coast, it's more tar heroin. And just that's based on where it came from. The tar heroin came up from Latin America and Mexico, and Asian heroin came from Asia and processed through Asia on the poppy plants. And it's a process, right? Those, I think, dependent on the city, were more to a particular area, social class, or to a particular minority, not minority, your ethnic background. But meth, it's everywhere. I mean, you hear of politicians who their kids, their adult kids are tied up with it. You may have someone else who's not a politician, who's a blue worker, and they're involved with it. The parents are involved with it. I think we're finding more kids, younger kids, young teenagers that are involved with it now than there were in the past, but they've grown up with it. There was a city council meeting in Puyallup just, it was a couple weeks ago, and it was reported that any seventh grader could go to this junior high and buy meth if they wanted to, but it's being sold at the seventh grade level. I mean, easily. And so seventh grade to much older. One thing about meth addicts, they don't live very long because you age and your body just starts falling apart. Yeah. And you don't see very many 50, 60-year-old meth addicts out there because they're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an eye-opener right there.
Yeah.
Because when I think about it, like, at Century, I don't even... Maybe we're just blind and we don't pay attention to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Ecstasy. I mean, there's a lot of other drugs that are out there too. There's people at Century doing that. I know there are.
Probably, but we're just, I don't know.
Yeah.
We did it's an educational videotape, and we interviewed two people from Southridge in Beaverton, Southridge.
Yeah.
Southridge.
Yeah.
Who were addicted, and I mean, there's a lot of people in the school that are doing it, so.
Yeah.
You guys are good kids. That's why you don't know who's doing it.
Yeah.
Keep it that way.
Kind of makes you feel a little bit stupid, but that's okay, right? Do you think the DARE program has helped?
We have a DARE program,
mm-hmm.
and we've had a DARE program for a lot of years, and based on what we hear from the kids and from their parents, mm-hmm. yes, that it has helped. But see, we've done SLAM, too. Have you seen the skid car accidents training for alcohol-related deaths, not drugs?
I don't think so.
Well, we've done it at Century. Alan Zog, a lieutenant with Hillsborough PD, he's come and talked to
maybe
kids
we
at the schools about...
They do something before prom or something.
Right.
They talk about it. I don't know.
We haven't done Century for a couple of years.
That's probably why. Yeah, we probably weren't there.
Yes, I think it has an impact. How much of an impact is hard to measure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not all of the 13 police agencies do.
Mm-hmm.
That was only probably two or three of us left.
Maybe DARE just slows down the process for, like, kids to test with drugs, maybe. Or... What do you think?
There's physiological evidence to show that as people grow old, when you're in your teens, parts of your brain, and I'm probably not going to say it exactly the way it is,
mm-hmm.
but you don't develop enough, and if you start using or abusing substances, that your likelihood of becoming addicted to them is much higher under 2021 than it is over 2021. Alcohol and some of the, not meth, but some of the others. And it's something to do with your brain and how it operates and development of it. That's one of the reasons I learned just a couple of years ago why they said 21 was the age before you could legally start drinking, was because your brain matured to a certain level. And I know you probably have teachers at school that explain that a lot better than I.
With the budget cuts at schools and when they cut down the amount of days kids were in school, do you think that had a huge effect in crimes because kids didn't have things to do and there's not as many recreational things around?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean, I don't know how high of an increase that would be. If there's an unscheduled snow day or something, I mean, we do see that there's more activities that are going on because there's more kids that are out there.
Right.
And I mean, it's not just the good kids, but if you're a bad kid and you have to be at school, that's 8 hours that you're not out doing crime or thinking about doing crime. Whereas if you were on the street or at home or bored, then it's an opportunity.
Would you change anything with law enforcement for that? You think you're doing good?
Yes. They are doing good. My opinion is that sometimes there's too much redundancy in the agencies, and they don't always talk and work together. I said there's 13 police agencies in the county. I don't believe there needs to be 13 police agencies in the county. There are some small cities who have like one officer. So they are there during the day for an 8 hours, 5 days a week, not 7 days a week, and they deal with what's going on. Do they have the tools that they need? Probably not, because funding that's available to them. Do they have the training that some of the other agencies get? I know they don't get the training, because when something bad happens, they can't deal with it. Other agencies, there's an agency to the west of us that has 12 people working there. They have a chief, they have a commander, and they have 3 or 4 sergeants. So let's say they have 4. That's 6 supervisors for 6 people that patrol officers go out and work the street. So that's a supervisor to subordinate ratio of 1 to 1, right? Well, at the sheriff's office, we have 1 sergeant for 10 people.
Right.
So what's that mean?
Money going to waste, kind of?
It is, because you have to pay these supervisors more money than you pay the other people.
Right.
And if they had fewer supervisors, maybe they could put 2 more patrolmen out on the street to deal with the crimes and the traffic and the things that are going on. And you can look at that from a county perspective on a much larger scale to say, oh, all right, so instead of 12, 13 agencies, you had 4. Think of what you could do with the economy of the scale for training and hiring. I mean, the background. We have a full-time background investigations unit because we're processing 500 employees or are always processing so many people through. But they do them well and they do them quickly because they know what they're doing. Another agency that may hire somebody once every 1 or 2 years. How well are they doing and how long does it take them? It's obvious that I like my department, though. So I'm a little prejudiced.
That's okay. Got anything else? Oh, is it the Measure 11? Is that the one where the mandatory sentence?
Minimum mandatory for certain offenses.
Right. Has there been an increase in or a decrease in teens committing crimes because of that? What do you think?
Well, I can't answer that because I couldn't say whether teens are committing more or less crimes based on Measure 11. Since Measure 11 went into effect, there's a lot of things that have changed as well. The methamphetamine epidemic.
Right.
So if there are more crimes, is it because of Measure 11 or is it because of the methamphetamine? We had the Busa homicide in Cornelius. a 17-year-old Forest Grove High School boy who's addicted to meth, breaks into a house, murders the father, brutally attacks the son who was under 7, mm-hmm. left him for dead. And, I mean, he's going to go to prison for the rest of his life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Measure 11's been into effect for a long time. He did that, and I think he had no thought of Measure 11. It was mm-hmm. the drugs that were overpowering mm-hmm. him to go and steal something, some Game Boys, so that he could buy more drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, I don't know. That's I don't know if it's had much of an impact or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How long have I worked at the department?
Sure.
You didn't ask that.
Oh, how long?
28 years this mm-hmm. summer.
How long?
did I ask you why you decided to join?
That's what you wanted to include.
When I was in high school, I had an uncle that was a cop, and I didn't really interact with him very much. And I went to college. My first year, I just took general studies. And then the last quarter, I took one police-related class. And I thought, that's interesting. I really like that. I kind of thought, always public service kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, I took more classes. I took more classes. And the more I took, the more it fascinated me. And it just seemed to be the right thing for me to go out and help people. It's not boring. You know, it's like if you're a banker or an accountant and you crunch numbers all day, you know exactly what you're going to do when you go to work. I'm going to do that every single day. I'd go to work and I'd say, hey, I wonder what today is going to bring me, because no day is the same. You may have burglaries and you may have family beefs, but every day is different. It's fun and it's exciting. And if you get a little boredom with your job, I didn't know this then, but I know it now. It's you get a little boredom with your job and you go, all right, I've been working patrol for 3 or 4 years. I want to go do traffic tape. Or I want to go do a canine and have a canine. Or I want to go work the drug team. Or I want to work the SWAT team. Or I want to work the riot control team. Or I want to do this. There's so many different options out there. So it's real easy to make a very small step, still basically doing the same thing. But it's like it's all brand new and it's all exciting.
That'd be cool.
It's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great profession. I think anybody that cares about people should consider doing it.
Right.
Men, women, anybody. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of women on that department.
With the drug team, do you guys have like a lot of undercover cops?
Everybody was. It's multi-purpose. So you would do some things. If you worked a case and you needed to be undercover, you would go in and do it. It's not like Serpico. You ever heard of Serpico?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's a 70s to 80s movie about how this person went deep undercover for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're undercover, you are playing a role for a period of time. It would be like, you know, I'd see you guys and you'd take me to your drug dealer to buy drugs and we'd come back and I'd process it.
Mm-hmm.
And we might do that a couple of times before we arrested you and the drug dealer, but that's undercover.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we didn't cover something that you wanted to talk about.
Well, comparing 80s to today, you know, we talked about some of the firearms equipment. When I started in 77, ballistic vests were optional prior to that. So by the 80s, it was pretty much mandatory everywhere, but it wasn't too much before that police officers didn't wear ballistic vests.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't catch anybody not having one.
Right.
It's not safe. The cars, you know, we talked about the computers. In the car at the time, we had a radio with 2 channels. Right? Now I think I on my portable radio, there's about 56 channels. So it's not only talking to the sheriff's office on those 2 channels. I could talk to Canby PD.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk to, I mean, just about anybody if there was a critical incident. I can talk to the fire department now. In the jail, I think we do much more in the way of programs to try and help people, trying to break that cycle. When back in the early 80s, we put people in, they'd go to jail, they'd go through their treatment, and they would be done. We have a GED program in our jail, and if you're in custody for more than 90 days, you're eligible to participate with it. And you go to class every day inside the jail, and it's sponsored through Hillsborough School District, and, and you can work towards obtaining your GED. So programs trying to help people break that cycle, I think that's there now, and that wasn't there in the 80s. That's about it, I guess. You guys were very good interviewers.
Thanks. Okay.